Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne. You are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. You are listening to episode 44 titled, The Selfie That Solved a Murder, The Murder of Brittany Gargle. I am still getting over a sickness, so bear with me voice-wise. This case is extremely frustrating. Because we always want to know why something happened, why someone did something horrible. But sometimes you're not always going to get that answer. Saskatoon is the largest city in the Canadian province of Saskatchewan. Saskatoon is relatively affordable compared to other major cities in Canada. The residents of Saskatoon are able to live a comfortable life with the average salary without much financial strain. Housing costs are also lower than bigger cities like Toronto. Their slogan, Saskatoon Shines, is not just a slogan, but it is a fact that the city is one of the sunniest places in Canada. But even the sunniest, most cheerful place is not even safe. In an article I read from June 18th, 2024, Saskatoon's interim police chief, Dave Hay, says that he's troubled because there is a rise in homicides this year in Saskatoon. He said, and I quote, "We're really concerned about the number of homicides we've had this year. We're up to 8. There is no pattern to them. Some are related to drugs. Some are related to gangs. Some were actually just a terrible accident." According to Statistics Canada, Saskatchewan's crime rate has been the worst in Canada for 25 years in a row. Some of factors that contribute to this include homicides, intimate partner violence, and assaults. It is March 23rd, 2015, and Brittany Gargle, an 18-year-old senior in high school, is getting ready to go out for a night on the town with her best friend, Cheyenne Antoine. Brittany and Cheyenne have been friends since the 9th grade. The two bonded pretty quickly because both of them had sort of messed up childhoods as they were growing up. Brittany was a bubbly, hyper, friendly, very outgoing young lady who loved makeup. She loved fashion. And she had dreams. This girl was going places. Her friends said that her dream was to actually build and then own her own chain of hotels. Growing up, Brittany lived with her grandmother. She rarely saw her mother. Her mother was an addict and in and out of jail and in and out of trouble. So Brittany stayed with her grandmother. And Brittany's friends say that her grandmother was an amazingly kind woman who did everything she could to give Brittany the life that she wanted as a child. Brittany didn't know her biological father growing up, but at this age, 18, Brittany had finally found her father and had begun a relationship with him. The two of them, along with his wife, who is now going to be Brittany's stepmother, they're starting to get to know Brittany, and they're starting over. Brittany was said to have a very strong bond with her new stepmom, Christy Wickenhauser. Brittany's BFF, Cheyenne Antoine, also had a difficult time in her childhood. When Cheyenne was only 2 years old, she was placed in foster care. She would remain in the system until age 18. Cheyenne lost both of her parents at a very young age. Cheyenne's time in foster care was horrendous. She was sexually and physically abused by all of her caretakers. And by the age of 19, Cheyenne already had 54 criminal convictions. Despite all of this, despite her struggles, Cheyenne had that one person who she always counted on, and that was Brittany, her best friend. It is a little after midnight on March 24th, 2015. Brittany and Cheyenne are doing their thing. They're getting ready together before their night out on the town. They're just gonna look really pretty, get dolled up, go out, have some drinks, and just enjoy life. But right before the two ladies walk out the door, they decide to take a selfie. They take a selfie and post it to Facebook. 6 hours later, Brittany Gargle would be dead. And that selfie was going to solve her murder. It is 6:02 a.m. on March 25th, 2015. Police are sending out an alert. Female injured and/or in distress. A motorist spotted a woman on the side of the road. They said that the woman looked to be in her late teens, early 20s. She had no shoes on. Her body was cold to the touch. At this point, paramedics arrive and they rush this young woman to the hospital. Once they arrive at the hospital, the woman is pronounced dead on arrival. The police are going to immediately suspect foul play because of what the crime scene looked like. At the crime scene, the evidence was a leather jacket, a belt, and a woman's watch. The young woman found on Valley Road had marks on her throat and bruising. Police know that the scene of the crime was not this crime scene. But they're also thinking, was this an isolated incident? Is there a killer on the loose? The police take to the media and they let the public know that this woman found by the side of the road had tattoos. They talk about the tattoos on the body, and soon after this newscast airs, Brittany Gargle's friends and family are coming forward to say, we know who that is. That is Brittany. But why and how? Last everyone knew, Brittany was going out on the town for the night with Cheyenne, her best friend. They even posted a photo of this on social media. So immediately, detectives start looking through all of Brittany's social media for clues. And the first thing they find is the last photo that was posted, the selfie of Cheyenne and Brittany. Police are also going to see a message from Cheyenne, and that message read, "Where are you, Brittany? Haven't heard from you. Hope you made it home safe, and I need my phone. Love ya." Now, since this news has been all over town, Cheyenne actually calls the police herself, and she's going to tell them, "Hey, listen, I want you to know that I was with Brittany last night, and this is just a little rundown of what Brittany and I did before I hadn't seen her for the rest of the night." Cheyenne tells the police that first, Brittany and Cheyenne are going to go to a bar called Manchester's. After they have a few drinks at this bar, they're going to go to a house party on Avenue I. After they leave this house party, they're then going to go to a bar called Colonial Pub and Grill, but they only make it to the parking lot at this bar. It is around 4 a.m. at this point, and Cheyenne tells the police that Brittany sees a man in the parking lot. She asks this man for a lighter and asks the man if he wants to come along for the rest of the night with Brittany and Cheyenne. Then Cheyenne says that she asked Brittany to drop her off at her uncle's house because she missed her uncle and needed to see him. Now, mind you, it is 4 a.m. at this point. I'm not sure how close Cheyenne is with her uncle, but I know that I've never wanted to go see my uncle at 4 in the morning after I've been out partying and drinking all night. But police are going to contact Cheyenne's uncle, and he is going to corroborate her story and tell the police, yeah, I saw Cheyenne last night. Her uncle lived in an assisted living facility, so the police are going to obviously go straight to those videos and see if Cheyenne was actually at her uncle's house between 4:30 and 5 in the morning. And that's going to be a no. So surveillance tapes will prove that Cheyenne and her uncle are lying about that night. While police are trying to unravel Cheyenne's story, they are also dealing with the autopsy results at the same time. The results come back saying that there was no sexual assault and that it was suffocation by ligature. Brittany was strangled to death. Police are going to return to Cheyenne's uncle and talk to him more about what happened that night. He is actually going to crack and tell them that Brittany told him a different story when she arrived that night. She wanted him to lie for her and tell the police that she had been with him after 4:30 in the morning. He says the reason that Cheyenne wanted him to lie was a story that she told him. Now, he makes it clear to police that he doesn't know if this story is true. He just thought he was trying to protect his niece. And the story he heard from Cheyenne was that Brittany and Cheyenne met two black men, and they ended up going to a motel room with the men. She says that they argued over cocaine, and at one point, Cheyenne says she went into the bathroom in the motel, and when she came out of the bathroom, Brittany was dead on the bed. She says that the two men told her that she was going to help them get rid of Brittany's body, and then she would go to her uncle's house. Now, police have to take apart this entire story, and they have to investigate it no matter what. They have no choice. They need to investigate it because they need to prove that Cheyenne is lying about this story. And of course, as you have already guessed, this story is false. It is now May 5th. This is 5 weeks after the murder of Brittany, and police are going to now want to interview Cheyenne again. But Cheyenne is in jail because Cheyenne was just recently arrested for shoplifting. So it is very easy for police to figure out where she is. They go to her at the jail and they try to interview her. She's not talking. Cheyenne is not going to say a word. And when I mean she's not talking, she's literally saying nothing. There is no physical proof and police have no direct confession. There is going to be a moment now in this case that Brittany's family is going to receive a phone call just out of the blue. A random woman calls the family's home. She says that she is Cheyenne's aunt, and she admits that the night that Brittany died, Cheyenne drove up and was very drunk, very panicked, hysterically crying and upset, saying over and over that she had strangled her friend Brittany. Brittany's family is flabbergasted by this. They immediately call the police and they tell them what just happened. Thankfully, the aunt confirms the story and this breaks open the case. As if police are not suspicious enough of Cheyenne, It is now 6 months after the death of Brittany, and it is September 10th, 2015. Cheyenne is going to post on social media right now about how much she loved and missed her best friend, Brittany. This post is going to be on the selfie that Cheyenne and Brittany posted the night that Brittany died. Now, this is just going to raise suspicions for the police enormously. Let me read to you what Cheyenne Rose wrote on the selfie on the Facebook page. She wrote, "Aw, I miss you so much, Bert. I wish heaven had visiting hours so I could come see you. But I'm so glad you came and visited me in my dream last night. Woke up with tears in my eyes. I'm blessed to have met you and have you to be a part of my life. I still can't believe those last 2 days were going to be the last 2 days I got to be able to hug you, talk with you, laugh with you. I will cherish and hold our good memories we've had over the years since ninth grade until we meet again. Looking forward to that day I see you again. Say hello to my mommy up there for me. That dream felt so damn real, and you were all bubbly and happy like you always were. I love you so much, Brittany Jane, and miss you so much. You were way too young to go, gone but not forgotten. You were truly an angel on earth, but I guess God needed you up there. You always believed in me, and I will make you proud, my girl. Rest in paradise, my angel." Now, I don't know if she was actually depressed or if she was laying it on thick just to let anyone know who might even have the slightest suspicion of her that she misses her friend. And now, this case at this point is going to seem cold to the public because the police aren't really commenting on anything right now. The police are staying kind of chill. But that's because they have already got their eye on a different angle. And when Cheyenne writes this on the Facebook page, not only are they going to notice it, but they start looking at the picture a little deeper as they're reading this lengthy memorial to Brittany. And they notice, wait a minute, what is Cheyenne wearing in this picture? Oh my God, Cheyenne has on the belt that we found at the crime scene. Now, this is one of those black belts from the 2000s, the early 2000s. I would say just picture Lauren Conrad wearing it on the hills. It'd be something she'd wrap around a cute little sundress. This new evidence of Cheyenne having the belt on in the selfie taken that same night is going to give enough evidence now for the police to order a new DNA test on that belt. And when they get the results back from that DNA test, it has both girls' DNA on it. But it's Cheyenne's belt. Why would Brittany's DNA be on it? Maybe Cheyenne let Brittany wear the belt that night. Or maybe Cheyenne strangled her friend with that belt that night. Cheyenne is going to be brought in again for questioning, and this girl is still not going to say a word. She can stay silent, but the police are still going to arrest her, and they are going to arrest her for second-degree murder. Immediately after her arrest, Cheyenne is now ready to talk. She is going to tell the police this is how the events of the night went down. They are going to party. They are going to go to a house party first. There is going to be a ton of drugs and alcohol used by both women. They then leave this house party and they go out to the bars that we mentioned earlier. Cheyenne will tell the police that 4:30 a.m. being in a McDonald's parking lot is her very last memory. She doesn't remember anything else other than she got into a little fight with Brittany, but she can't remember what that fight was about. She tells police that she cannot deny that she killed Brittany because she can't remember. She woke up and she knew that she did something so horrible, but she couldn't remember what it was. If Cheyenne is going to be on trial for second-degree murder, then it's going to have to be proven that she intended to murder Brittany that night. But Cheyenne can't remember anything. There is no motive for this trial. There's no reason. There is no answer. Cheyenne Antoine is going to take a plea deal, and she's going to plead guilty to manslaughter. She's only going to get 7 years in prison and be eligible for release in 2024. At the sentencing, a family friend said, "People have gone to jail longer for killing their dog or cat." You are all probably thinking the same thing as me. Why only 7 years? In Canada, there is a practice called a joint submission. And this is where the Crown and the defense have to agree on an appropriate sentence and then explain it to the judge and why this sentence should be imposed. So, 7 years. How did they get to 7 years? They will factor in Cheyenne's past. Cheyenne had been in the system from age 2 to 18. Her mother was an addict. Cheyenne grew up without any sort of support system. She never learned right from wrong. She never learned how to cope with her feelings. The court has to look at Gladue factors. Now, Gladue factors are a set of principles that Canadian criminal courts must consider when sentencing Indigenous people. These factors are based on the unique circumstances that have led to an Indigenous person coming into contact with the law. So I'm going to give you some examples of Gladue factors. Systemic racism, discrimination, systemic discrimination and racism in the criminal justice system, abuse, either physical, psychological, emotional, verbal, or spiritual, substance abuse, personal, family, and community impacts of alcohol and drug abuse, loss of culture, separation from your family, from your culture, loss of access to ceremonies and healing practices, poverty, lower education levels, lower income, higher unemployment, and poverty, intergenerational trauma, experiences as a result of Indian residential schools, involvement in child welfare systems. Witnesses say that at the trial and at the sentencing, Cheyenne was a mess, just nonstop crying, very hysterical. You could tell that she was very, very sorry. She said while crying at trial, "I'll never forgive myself. Nothing I ever do or say will bring Brittany back." Brittany's stepmother, Christy, says that the night you two went out and you ended her life, not only did you take away a sister and a daughter who we were just getting to know, you took away the lifelong potential we had to have Brittany in our lives, the chance for her father to finally be there for her. In an article from the Saskatoon Star Phoenix, this was from May 28, 2024, a Parole Board of Canada on May 5th confirmed that Cheyenne Antoine received a statutory release on March 28th, but it stated that she was suspended from that release 3 days later because she got into a, quote, emotional state during a conversation with a halfway house staff member, and she refused to let this staff member into her room during room checks. After a suspension, the board is going to review the case and decide whether to cancel this offender's release or to allow them to continue living in the community. The Correctional Service of Canada, the CSC, confirmed that Cheyenne's sentence will conclude on April 18th, 2025. When Cheyenne's program ends, she will continue to serve her sentence in a halfway house on conditions that prohibit her from consuming alcohol and drugs and prohibit her from contacting Brittany Gargle's family or associating with anyone involved in gangs, criminal activity, or substance abuse. she must follow a community treatment plan focusing on substance abuse, trauma, and violence. Just to give you a little background on Cheyenne, she was granted day parole in 2021, but after completing her first 6 weeks of an intensive addiction program, she went at large. She was gone. And then they found her and she was arrested again in March 2022. Shortly after this incident, now she's back in jail, she attacked a correctional officer with closed fist after being denied a shower. She had 15 serious institutional charges and 44 minor charges that she incurred for, quote, disobeying institutional rules, being disrespectful, threatening and assaultive to staff and other inmates, refusing urinalysis, possession of contraband, and diverting medication. So Cheyenne is definitely a high risk to reoffend. One of my main sources for this story was a podcast called She's Gone. This is an award-winning podcast hosted by Saskatoon Star Phoenix criminal justice reporter Bree McAdam. This podcast goes deeper into the court case and tells the stories of four different Saskatchewan women whose lives were cut short. Definitely give this podcast a listen. This case feels unfinished. It feels like you never really get any answers. It feels like you didn't even really get to know Brittany or why this happened. What happened between these two girls in the middle of what was supposed to be a really fun girls' night out? How could anything escalate to that point where Cheyenne is taking her belt off, wrapping it around Brittany's neck, and just choking her until she dies? I mean, it doesn't happen very quickly. That takes a lot of time to do. And if I'm sitting here racking my brain about it, I can't imagine what Brittany's friends and family are going through still to this day. They don't have answers. And at this point, they never will. In the Oxygen series, Final Moments, Season 2, Episode 6, it's called The Missing Clue. One of Brittany's very close friends talks about how she doesn't trust anyone anymore. Not only is she grieving the loss of one of her greatest friends, but she doesn't want to make new friends. She doesn't want to go out and do anything. She's scared because you never know what someone could do to you. As we end this story, the biggest question on everyone's mind is why and what happened. And that's the thing, is we're never going to know. Sometimes there is no motive. Sometimes people are just pure evil. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Residue. I hope you will join us again next week. Residue is written, researched, hosted, created, and edited by me, Chrissy Champagne. If you want to join me on Instagram, it is Residue Podcast. Facebook is Residue, a True Crime Podcast. TikTok is Residue Podcast. If you could be so kind as to leave a 5-star review on Apple or Spotify, that would really help me out. It would really help the show out. And I just love to know what you guys think about Residue. You can also email me at residuepodcast@gmail.com. Let me know if there are any cases from your hometown that you would like me to cover. I appreciate you all so much. And until next time, stay safe and stay paranoid.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/Ohio's time.
Are you a questioner, a wanderer, or even a bit of a snooper? If so, then you'll feel right at home in Knoxville. We've got miles of trails to wander in our urban wilderness, award-winning eateries to satisfy your culinary cravings, cultural sites to open your mind, and dog-friendly activities that'll have everyone wagging. Knoxville, calling the curious. Learn more at visitknoxville.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.